Chapter 14. Jason's Fate. Fighting to open his eyes that morning seemed to take all the strength Jason could muster. What had happened to him? How could he, a strong, vibrant young man, be so unable to move? What was this strange force that bound him tightly, like invisible ropes, leaving him paralyzed like this on his bed? The lack of strength and inability to even move hands or legs, this by itself was overwhelming. Yet it seemed to pale in comparison to the dark shadow of fear that gripped his very heart. He'd grown to hate the night as sleep came quickly behind the setting of the sun. Where he once was able to work well into the night, he found himself now a slave to this tiredness that fell on him like a blanket of despair. Though the daylight offered little relief from the fear, the depth of terror that came upon him during sleep almost drove him mad. Hopelessness had overtaken him in these last few weeks, making even the desire to stay alive a fight he often thought he would lose. What was the source of this condition? What was the cure? Or was there one? What if anything could be done to break this powerful hold on him? The only thing that drove him on or even gave him a reason to live was Chase, his master. He wanted so badly to get up and tend to his master's needs. He once lived to meet his every need, which had given his life meaning. Now, even though he had been assured that everything was fine, his worthlessness tore at him. What a kind and understanding master he had, which was all the more reason he so wanted to get up and get back to his duties. With great effort, he was finally able to open his clouded eyes. Only then could he make out the shape of someone kneeling before him. He strained hard to make out the face, but to no avail. His weak eyes failed him more each day now. Suddenly he heard his name. Jason. Jason. Good morning, it's me. And he felt a smile wash over his own face, ushered in by the simple hearing of Chase's voice. Here was the man he was to be waiting on, now waiting on him. He suddenly felt tears come to his eyes, the smile leave just as quickly as it came. As the very thought of this role reversal sunk in, he could not handle it. What an incredible act of kindness, compassion, and yes, even friendship Chase was showing him, a lowly servant. This was the very thing he had tried so hard to warn Chase against. This kindness was not acceptable for one in such a position as his. Being a centurion demanded a certain air of toughness, yes, even cruelty when needed. Jason, he again heard his master's voice. Are you all right? Where did that smile go, my friend? Chase continued. You're going to be fine, he went on. I know the answer. God spoke to me last night and told me what to do. Jason strained to speak and said, which God, master? For Rome had many gods. Jason knew not which one there was that could help him. Chase had never given much attention to religion and had little faith in all of the so-called gods. He, of course, had been careful to never admit, as these gods were very important to Roman rule. You followed their ways, worshiped their gods. That is just what you did. No questions asked, no disobedience except, not if you wanted to get the benefits of Roman citizenship, that is. Chase again broke into his thoughts as he responded to his question. The true God, Jason, the true God. Have you heard nothing of what I have been telling you lately? This man I have been assigned to keep an eye on, Jesus, he is different. When I hear him speak, my legs grow weak as if I had endured a long fought battle. And yet I want not to fight the feeling, but run to it and embrace it. I have felt changes in me that weren't there since childhood. As these words were spoken, Jason's eyes grew large and caught Chase's attention. I know, Jason said. And he went on to try to comfort Jason and told him he need not warn him or worry for him. In fact, he told Jason how just being around Jesus took away all worry and fear. And that is how he knew what God meant when he had spoken to him. But Jason just stared with those big pleading eyes. Jason slipped into his thoughts, no longer aware of Chase's presence. Jason had for some time now been pleading with Chase not to be affected by this teacher's words. Though daily he saw clearly a softening of Chase's heart and a tenderness come out within this hardened soldier. There were times Jason had to admit that he even had begun to wonder, was there really something different about this Jesus? Even most of his own people who practiced a superstitious religion that Rome laughed at didn't believe him. With this thought, Jason had quickly dismissed any thought of believing these things himself. So why was his master willing to risk so much for someone who seemed to mean so little to almost anyone? Chase was no fool. This is for sure. He was certainly not a man to toy with. He'd gone time after time to keep an eye on this Jesus, and in the beginning seemed unaffected. Then one day, he seemed different, changed somehow, not outwardly, but inwardly. Jason could tell his master was fighting a battle within himself, the old soldier and this new man that seemed so badly to want to come out. He tried to reason with Chase when he would relate his teachings to him, but Chase persisted, trying to make him see how simple, pure, and true Jesus' words were. Jason remembered so often after these conversations, shaking his head and just walking away while glancing back with strange looks, letting Chase know how totally confused he was by these newfound beliefs and his seemingly unwillingness to possibly believe them. Did Chase not understand that every decision he made affected the lives of everyone in his charge, including Jason himself? Most of them had nothing else, no one else, nowhere else but here. If Chase's newfound belief, or even its effect on him, were discovered, he would be demoted, at the minimum, and possibly put to death at the worst. Either way, Chase would no longer have a household of servants like Jason. This meant they would be turned over to the local slave traders and sold for the highest price. He loved this man dearly, but was so afraid of what would happen. Little by little, this fear grew within him. He thought about it constantly. Who was watching? What was being said about Chase behind closed doors of the barracks? What about Clyde? He wanted nothing more than to find a way to do what he was unable on the field of battle to do, be better than Chase. This could be his chance to bring Chase down. Jason knew he was watching him, suspecting something. He began to worry night and day about what being a slave would be like, how he would ever live through such a change, or if he would live at all. This fear and worry began to be all that his mind dealt with constantly. He had begun to mess up simple tasks that Chase would give him, and this made the fear in him grow even more. Then slowly but surely, he began to worry about the fear itself, almost not thinking about what it was that he feared. As he did, Jason began to find he was not feeling well more and more often. And then his fear of not being able to even do his job added to his other fears. Chase reassured him of his lack of need to worry, but he still did. This just made things worse and worse. Now Jason seemed to fear anything, everything, and even nothing at all. He seemed to grow weaker daily. In a short time, he could no longer walk without help. This too added to his fear. Now here he was, unable to move anything but his mouth and eyes, and he had grown to fear that these abilities would soon pass as well, and he would simply die. Jason fell back asleep, thinking of how nothing but nothing could ever free him from this dreadful fate. Chase looked down on him compassionately as his friend and servant, knowing he had to go now. There was only one hope to save him from this death that awaited him. Chase left orders with the other servants to watch over Jason and make him as comfortable as possible till he was healed. They looked at each other and shook their heads, totally convinced this man was going to die and that their master had lost his mind. They did, however, acknowledge their master, assured him his orders would be followed. With that, Chase mounted his waiting horse and rode off toward Jason's cure. What you knew, you no longer know. Questioning, you begin to show. That which was no longer is, and you ask yourself, then what is this? These changes, though, they're not in you, affected you just the same they do. They threaten all that will ever be. Now your future you cannot see. Your life has never been your own. To be a servant is all you've known, but you always trusted what they said. Now you feel you'll end up dead. You start to worry. You start to fear. You won't listen. You just won't hear. You think the worst will be your fate. The fear has made sleep a thing to hate. Dreadful thoughts haunt your dreams, steal your mind, or so it seems. Then health is stolen like a thief in the night. Your very strength at last takes flight. You lie there paralyzed, and then you feel that fear rise up again. You know you're lost without a hope, then fear it binds you like a rope. Invisible to human eyes, unaffected by your constant cries, hopelessness is all you feel. Your very life, this fear will steal. Your master hears your desperate cry. He wipes the tear there from your eye. He tells you, fear not, worry none. He knows the way, he's found the one who can heal your pain, your life restore, and make your body still no more. He'll set you free from that which binds, that clouds your thoughts and steals your mind. He says he's gone to do for you that which he himself can't do. When he returns, you'll rise again. So wait, my friend, just wait till then.